That song, "Our God, He is Alive," is not part of my lesson this afternoon. However, with the apathy of our nation and saying that there is no God and there's no reason for having it, Brother Dykus wrote this back in 1966. After Life magazine in 1965 had a big spread about God is dead. And so Brother Dykus wrote this song, "Our God, He is Alive." So, know this, there is no way any of the things you see around you is by an accident. It's all by design. And know that the Lord God gave us, and having the intelligence He has, He gave us what we need to know to have eternal life with Him. For somebody who says there's no God, I feel so sorry for them. As they're dying, even the most ardent atheists have been recorded as saying, "God, if there's a God, please save my soul if I have a soul." Now, do you think God is going to be that benevolent to save a soul of a person who's been so anti-God for so many years? Let's set that aside for a moment. Gossip. Did you hear about that? Well, let me tell you about something else. Oh, did you hear this? All right, those are usual terms you start off with when you're right before you're about to, ready to tell something juicy. Yeah, that's what the world would say. In my classroom, and by the way, this lesson is not my lesson alone. It's other people's, and I've, just like the Lord, got a question. When somebody preaches the gospel, and somebody preaches the same message, is it still the gospel? It still is, isn't it? And if it's worth saying once and it's from the Lord, it's worth saying again. I say that because you might have heard this somewhere else, and that's all right. I'm going to feed it again. Do you ever have one meal a day? Most of us in the United States, we have more than one. Myself very much included. So, gossip. I teach fourth grade, as you all may know. You may not know. I have three rules in my classroom. I used to have a lot until I started wising up a wee bit. Don't touch your neighbor. Don't say bad words. Don't this, don't that. Never. Don't. It don't work. What you do is you say them what you should do. And I've come down to three rules in my classroom. Three. Just three. And they pretty much cover almost everything there is to be upset about. My first rule, number one, in my classroom is honesty. You could punch another kid. That's all right. I mean, I'd be all right, but it's okay. As long as you tell me what the truth is, we can solve and make the problem become less of a problem. But the individual who's dishonest, well, that's a problem. Rule number two, empathy. Yes, our current secular education, you can't say the golden rule. That's religious. But you can say empathy and teach it all you like. The third rule, try your best and keep trying. Now, under those rules is a gossip issue. Which one might those be? Try your best or keep trying? Maybe. Would it be honesty? Definitely maybe. How about empathy? Oh, definitely. So this thing of gossip falls under all three of those categories. It'd be a problem in my classroom. Now, there's three different things that gossip is. You know, that some people, and I have to teach this to every nine-year-old that's in my class. Well, they call me Mr. Forrest in the classroom. Mr. Forrest, you just lied. And I said, did I give you a face like this? Did I just goof around in some way that you knew that, and I knew you and I were playing? Well, yeah. I said, that is called facetious. I have a whole lesson on facetious. I saw that up here, just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes ago. Facetiousness is happening. And in the auditorium here this morning and this afternoon, facetiousness is happening. We humans like to have fun. If I know, you know, I'm playing with you. I might not be exactly telling the exact truth as you understand it, but you and I both know we're having fun. Am I trying to deceive you? No. Am I trying to have fun with a little grin and maybe a little... My family knows there's something... All right. My wife has already given me... I have a little facial thing that goes, and I guess I just do it, and I sort of pierce my lips a little bit when I'm being facetious, and you tell me if I'm doing it right. It's a real obvious indicator that I'm trying to have fun with you. Now, how is that different than lying? Well, there's two other parts about lying. One, lying is truly trying to be deceitful. Trying to pull the wool over, that's a nice way of saying it. Trying to be dishonest just like Satan and lie to somebody. And try to get them to believe something that's not true. That's a lie. Well, there's a gray lie. There's little white lies. There's a little... No, there is not. There's a lie. And then there's a truth. Now, if you want to say I'm having fun and you and I both understand, well, that's having fun. But I'm not trying to deceive you, neither are you trying to deceive me. Then there's a third one. And this is where Christians, we typically do okay about this lying business. We typically do. But now there's some of us that have, every one of us has an issue we have. And Satan knows it. And they use it on us every time. You got a problem with this? Satan will use that. You got a problem with this, that? Satan will use that. He keeps pushing your buttons, and he knows yours. Whether you think he does or not, he does. So, most Christians understand this lesson of lying. There's two other parts about this thing called lying. One is called sarcastic. Let me tell you something, brother. Your words should be based on love. Oh, I'm not following my script, am I? Your words should be based on love, and we'll get into that in a few moments. Obviously, lying is not love, is it? Obviously, lying is go against what God said, and we all also know that Satan is the father of lies. But sometimes, brethren, there's another aspect, and that's called sarcastic. And right along with that goes gossip. Let's get into what and about those two specific things. And I know the title is gossip, but right along with it, we could subtitle it sarcastic. Now, what's a sarcastic? We'll get into that right now. Let's define sarcastic. Sarcastic is, and I know it's not there yet. Sarcastic is, if I'm telling you one thing and my body language says the opposite. At least in elementary school, the girls have it down pat. The boys, well, we got a problem, this, you know. Come on, let's do it. Girls, they don't do it that way. They'll come up and they'll say to another girl that they may not like at all, "Oh, you have such a nice dress." What's funny is all the ladies here, most of them, y'all have a smirk on your face. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Guys, we go, "It's just hit them, man." We resolve it two different ways. Girls do it underhandedly with a knife in the back. Guys do it with a knife in the front. It's still the wrong sale. It's wrong either way. Sarcastic is saying one thing, but meaning the other. Gossip is not a whole lot different. It's still meant to hurt. Now let's get into the lesson. If you would, Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. Now I'm normally, since I don't normally, I've been derided all day about PowerPoint. I repeat my scriptures because I am so used to not being aided in such a fashion. Chapter 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, what? Deceit and evil mind. And they are whispers. How is that going in the same category as murderers? And by the way, some versions say gossips. Whispers and gossips are the same. What is Paul saying here? Paul is saying whispers, gossipers are no different than a murderer in God's eyes. Well, I don't mean to hurt you. Yeah. Y'all know Lauren Madison. He gave me a challenge many years ago. Name me one sin that's not based on selfishness. Well, so far I haven't found too many, if I can't even say one. When it comes down to it, sin is what I want, not what God wants. Now, if I'm trying to obey God, I'm going to now understand gossip is the same as murder. Let's go on to verse 30. Backbiters, which is named as slanderers, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Oh, guess what did you tell me? Tell me again so I can repeat it. That's a gossiper. Somebody who doesn't just hear, say it, but somebody who's willing to hear. The participant is both ways. They're both guilty. Now, we talked about this morning about walking in. And scriptures of walking. Here it says, practice such things. Again, it's walking in such things. In a world of sinners, which we all live in, these words paint a dark picture of a world where God has been pushed aside. Does that sound familiar? And people are giving over to what is wrong without regret. No conscience. They've been seared. They don't care. If given the choice, would you want to live with such folks? Certainly Paul makes it clear that God has condemned such a lifestyle and stand ready to bring those reprobates or those who are against God in judgment. And he says those are worthy of death. Paul often uses a list to make a point. I see at least two objects in this list. I think you do too. One, he wants to see the perverse aspect of the behavior by showing the many ways that it's manifested, this thing of evil. These godless people are filled with every kind of wickedness, we see in verse 29. Not just a single or occasional sin. Now, we talked about that too. Every one of us sin. To some degree, to some other, at some time. And every one of us need to have a repentant attitude. Pray to God, ask for that forgiveness. But those who keep walking in the same sin, day in, day out, these are the ones that are going to have a major problem. He wants us to see the connectivity and similarity between these behaviors. Although they're different, they all have the same ending of the same judgment. Those who practice such things are also deserving of death, verse 32. Some of these practices and attitudes of the heart the list are expected, we would include them if we were making a list, but others may surprise us. There are three that stand out to me. One's disobedient to the parents. Verse 30. How is that like a murder? We have an idea that children are supposed to obey their parents. Well, this is true. It's correct. Do we want children to do whatever they want? Well, we want, in our society, we want to have our children have freedom. Okay. Do whatever you want. Go across that freeway. Children don't have the wisdom. Children don't have the knowledge. And that's what our job is as parents, is to help direct them. And so God's telling the parents, you can see I'm a teacher, students, they're to obey the parents because it will save their life. And if the parent is doing their job, they're going to teach them right and wrong. And they're also going to teach them the things that Paul has just now told us are wrong. They expect the children to do what they're told to do. Now, there's a two-edged sword there, isn't there? Children obey the parents, but what's the parents' responsibility? To teach and bring up the child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That says that we must discipline. Humans don't do well with only good things. You got to have, as I said this morning, the carrot or the stick. The carrot, the good things, and the stick, the ouch. Humans live best when you don't touch the stove. Don't touch the stove. Ah, there's the carrot. No, that's the stick. Will that child touch that hot stove again? I dare say if you say to that child, I'll give you some candy if you don't touch that hot stove. Parent leaves the room. They've given the child candy. Oh, there's too many smiles in this room. You all know we're going to hear it and we're gonna, right afterwards. Yeah. Carrots are nice. Sticks help a lot too. We are living in a society where nothing is wrong. There's no consequence. You can steal all you want here in California, but you won't get hardly arrested. Tell me, where's that stick? Are they obeying? So, here we go. There are two other things. One is gossip and slanders. Verse 29 and verse 30. Would you include gossiping in this list? Paul puts the person who speaks evil of another person in the same list as a murderer or sexual deviant. God is serious about what he says and why he lets. Let's take a closer look at this particular aspect of sin. There's something I didn't really realize until doing this lesson. Talking like the devil. The word slander, also known as backbiters, has an interesting connection. The word in Romans 1 is also translated backbiter. But another common word for slander is also used to identify who? Satan. What? Yeah, slander means Satan. The same word. Now let's see if I get it right. Diablos. Did I get it right? I think so. It's often rendered as devil. So the word slanderer means devil. Do you think that there's any coincidence about that? Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. The same word that's used for devil in translation is the same word used here. Let's take a look. And this is where John is, again, Jesus is telling John to write the things about, John's writing this. I'll stop there. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. So great, the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil. The same word used here for devil is the same one used for slanderer. And Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser, same basic word I believe is used as gossip, of our brethren who accuses them before our God day and night has been cast down. Brethren, this slandering, this gossip, this sarcastic, and I'll talk more about that. It's wrong. Romans chapter 1, verse 30. Word here is the same word used that was used for the accuser is used for brethren. Romans 1:30. Merriam-Webster dictionary defines slander as malicious talk, spreading damage information and damaging information to defame, to speak ill of, an attempt to hurt. Slander is the work of the devil, and those who slander are those on his side. Gossip is derived from whisperer. According to the same dictionary, gossip means to indulge in idle talk or rumors about others, spreading of sensational stories or information. Funk and Wagnall, that dictionary defines it as idle or malicious talk about others. Although we generally think of gossip as an innocent little thing, the Bible treats it as very, very serious. Whisper does this clandestine. A slanderer does it out. That's the difference. Is one is trying to destroy by speaking it quietly, and the other one's out and open. The Old Testament uses talebearer. The same basic idea. Leviticus 19, verse 16. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord God. God presents the gossip here. It's about one who doesn't care about their neighbor's life. Remember I said about that selfishness? Is that person being selfish by doing what they want? They don't care about the other person. When you have sensitive information, you need to be trustworthy. You need to hold on to that information properly. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12 and 13. A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. A talebearer or gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps that secret. If somebody comes to you with some information, and it's sensitive information, and you, as adults, you understand if it's sensitive or not. If somebody's confiding something in you, I'll tell you what, there's some times in my school, this gossip stuff goes around even among the teachers. It seems like adults never grow up. And there are several teachers that no longer want to talk to me because I don't want to listen to them. One teacher this last week says, oh, hey, Dad. Never mind. And walked away. I said, yeah. I didn't need to hear that. And then, of course, there's the other side. Daryl, can I ask you a favor? Can you help me with this situation? Because they know I'm not going to tell about it. Getting, if you're going to somebody and they're coming to you for advice, if you don't have the answer and you think you're going to go find the answer somewhere else, you better make sure that other source is secure. Because you're not going to be real happy when that other person that's trying to help you with that advice starts talking to everybody else too. How would you want to be treated? Oh, is that that second rule, empathy? How would you want to be treated? Proverbs 20, verse 18. The wise man extols the need for counsel before making a decision, such as going to war. But then in the next verse, he warns against the talebearer, the gossiper, who would readily reveal those secrets. The Hebrew word for talebearer literally means a trafficker who goes about offering his wares of scandal and revealing secrets to the prejudice of others. He flatters them with his lips to elicit more information, what you may offer and repeat to them, though there is need of counsel, yet it is not safe to ask it from everyone, and to tell secrets to everyone. When you're hearing gossip, are you swallowing it? Gossip should not be heard. If you know it's going to be something that's going to be a problem, reject it out of hand. Stop them. Say, I don't need to hear this. Do I need to hear it? Don't swallow everything. Somebody who always swallows everything is not real smart. Proverbs 18, 6 through 8. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down to the innermost body. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Certainly the talebearer's words do wound others, but another rendering gives a different perspective. Let's go to Proverbs 18, verse 8, down to there. The words gossip and choice morsels in New International Version. Don't necessarily like that one all the time, but it does once in a while have a good suggestion. That is, swallowed by others. Complete Word Study Dictionary says the word here is a verb meaning to swallow greedily. As a passive noun, it means something gulped. It's not digested. It's not decided. It's not mulled over. It's just swallowed. That's used for what's used here in Proverbs 18:8 is just swallowed. If you've ever gone fishing, a smart fish will take that hook just a little bit in the bait and mull it around in its mouth. If you've ever done bass or trout fishing, they each have their own way of doing it. Bass, you've got to tease them a little bit. Tease them, get them mad. And then finally, they're so mad they'll swallow it. Trout? Different. You got to throw that sit. You move it around, they get scared, they run. Trout, they'll sit there and nibble at it and test it, nibble it. Oh, okay, it tastes good. But if they feel a hook, trout will spit it out faster than you can say hello. You let it sit. And then the line, up, you got him now. An undiscerning trout swallows it. An undiscerning bass just takes it whole. I hope you understand the analogy here. You are the fish. And Satan has the hook with that line. Are you going to nibble on that? Are you going to be a trout and be discerning? Or are you going to go, hey, I'm a bass. I'll just swallow it whole. You want to look and see if there's any hooks in anything you hear. If there's a hook, don't swallow. Spit it out and walk away. Proverbs 26, 20 to 22. There is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to a burning coal, burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. Brethren, I've seen congregations split. Split. Because somebody couldn't keep their mouth closed, or somebody couldn't have the maturity of spirit to say, that's wrong. You should be quiet. Brethren, if you see any problems with that, now, I'm not necessarily the part of this congregation. And you know that. But in every congregation, there's some sort of issue. Whether this is one of your issues, I don't know. But I do know this. It's an issue for many, many Christians. And it's a lesson we all need to remember. Be very, very choosy about what you choose to listen to and swallow. Sometimes that gossip is masqueraded as concern. Oh, I see you're unhappy about something. What's going on? If you're honest in heart and you really are trying to be love, a loving brother or sister, that information they tell you is only for your ears. It's their information and it's theirs to give, not yours. I've seen marriages split because one spouse couldn't stay quiet about the other spouse, whatever happened in the home. Brethren, we are to be unified. And how are we going to do that if we're backbiting and slicing and dicing each other? It's no good. It's no good. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A perverse man sows strife and whisper separates the best of friends. I hope your spouse is your best friend. If not, you have a problem. Any person who is genuinely concerned about solving a problem will follow Jesus' counsel in Matthew, the whole chapter 18. You make sure you're taking care of each other in love. You make sure that you are doing your friend and your brethren, your mutual brethren who's having problems, you make sure you're helping them the best you can. There are times when people need to confide in friends, as we did, the Lord did. And there are times we need to be quiet. We must ask ourselves, what is our motivation in our speaking and our listening? Is your motivation because you want it? Hey, this is interesting, I like it. Or is it out of love? Every idle word will have to be taken count of. I know. What about the jokes that I tell? Well, I'm trying to have humor. Am I trying to hurt? Sometimes there's too much of any good thing, period. And so that's one of the things I have to work on, is making sure I don't have my humor overshadow sincerity. For me, that's one of my issues. Make sure that you know your motivation. My motivation was to try to have fun and entertainment, but some people might not see that way, and I have to be careful. Every idle word will be accounted for. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 through 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be judged. And by your words, you will be condemned. I don't know about you, but I forget sometimes what I say. That's why we have things written down. God doesn't need to write things down. And God will bring every account to our memory on the day of judgment. Are you going to remember the good? I hope you do. And are you making correct choices in what you do and say? Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. He had a thing here where he's saying, let me just read it to you. Paul says to the congregation there, he tells them to refuse to have the congregation help the younger widows who learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossip and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. What he's saying to the young widow people is, mind your business. And if you're widowed and somebody's taking care of you and you don't have your own responsibility, it's a temptation to start being in other people's businesses. Tend to our own business. Everybody else's business, that's theirs. I have to tell you, I used to stand at the checkout counter and kind of enjoy looking and reading some of that stuff without, you know, all the newspapers when I was a kid. Oh, they, Mom, Dad, look, they're saying this about that person. They're saying that about the... You guys know what I'm talking about. They call it at some point, one's called what, the Star, another's called the Gossip. What? I don't look at those at all now. I walk by and go, that might be good kindling. Is it my business? No. But Satan has made it a big business for everybody else to try to learn somebody else's business. It's not. We keep to our own business. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, have your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever more than these is from the evil one. Make sure you say what you mean to say. Don't make it ambiguous. Don't beat around the bush. Don't let somebody try to guess what you're saying. Say what you're going to say. Or be quiet. Paul uses the term busybodies. The complete word study of dictionary says the word is used to people who scurry around and fussing over different things and meddling in other people's business. Affairs being overwrought with unnecessary care. Notice that the busybody gets that you're using your idleness to get into other people's business. Gossip may indicate laziness too, because it's easy to get into other people's business and not your own. How serious is this? Again, it's serious. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or what? A busybody, a gossip, in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. I dare say, brethren, we'll probably be in a country someday in the future, and it's getting there, where being a Christian is not fun or easy. Go back in the 60s. Oh, Jesus this and this. And all the... It was great to be Christian. But today, to be a Christian, oh, you're a hater. All these different words and names they call people who don't like homosexuality. They don't like whatever they like. And they start calling names. Well, being a Christian today is it's going to get harder. It's going to get harder and harder. But the truth of the matter is, getting to heaven's not easy. Consider the different types of slander. Oh, I'm just joking. Have you ever heard that? Something nasty is said. Oh, I'm just joking. Oh, that wasn't meant in love, was it? No, that was meant to hurt. That's a slander. Oh, I didn't mean it. That was funny, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. It was meanness. That is sarcastic. Sarcastic is slander. And that also, there's a new term that's been used in the last 10, 15, 20 years maybe. Snarky. Oh, he was snarky. Now, is that up there right there? Oh, it is. Yeah, they have this term called snarky. Yeah, what is that? It's a slanderer. Somebody who's telling something to hurt. Oh, I'm just kidding. Positive words with nonverbal opposites is no better. Backhanded compliments. I really like that scarf, but couldn't you have worn that matching? With something matching? Nonverbal. I already gave you that one. I like that dress. Yes. Yeah, I'm joking. Is your speech with love? Are you meaning the best for the person you're talking to? The answer is no. Here we go. Shut up. Keep your mouth closed. That's not in the notes. Brethren, keep quiet. You know, there's a Disney. Okay, yes, I know. Bambi. There's a little lion in there. Thumper, a little bunny rabbit. Thumper's mother. Thumper's going to say something unkind, and Thumper's mother says, "If you can't say something nice, say nothing at all." You guys could finish it. Thumper's mother had it right. Stay quiet. Keep your comments to yourself. If you really think it's that serious, help them. Go to them quietly. See what you can do to help them. Ephesians 5, 1 through 10. No, you know what? I apologize. Go back. No, we did. I apologize. One more time. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Is what you're saying sweet to God? Verse 3. But fornicators and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous person, or man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Yeah, you're reading it. Verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. When they come to you with something juicy to talk about, don't listen. Walk away. Verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Now, brethren, some people would say, oh, all you have to do is hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and you're done. There's a teaching on our campus, he's a Baptist, and that's what he thinks. Except, the baptism is only because you're saved. And now he doesn't have to do anything else. He's saved. Let's see. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Does that mean I need to stay ignorant? No. We keep studying. We keep learning what God would want us to do. We need to submit to one another in the fear of God. We need to make sure that as Christians, we are not committing murder? No. Do you steal from your... Yeah, murder and stealing, we know that one. But now ask yourself, have I participated in gossip? Poor Richard's just trying to keep up with my off notes. Or are you trying to help others get to heaven too? Some facts about gossip. And of course, there's lots more. Let me propose my own list. Does a gossip and a slander qualify himself for spiritual leadership? 1 Timothy 3, 10 through 12. But let these also first be tested. Let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Gossip always contributes to a problem. It just always does. Gossip destroys friendships, separates unities, divides churches, cripples churches. Gossip always distorts the facts. It exaggerates. Now, if you're a fisherman, it's okay. My fish was this big. Oh, the hook was that big? Now you all know I'm having fun. But seriously, if you're exact, and now I will tell you, there have been times that I don't know the exact amount, so I'll say it's 5 million. And the hearer goes, what do you mean you had $5 million? No, I had 5 billion. So I apologize. No, I had 5 trillion. That's what it was. Now the hearer knows I'm having fun. Now the hearer knows I don't exactly know how much, but it's big. But am I trying to deceive? No. But we need to be better about what we say. Those who gossip and slander are not in right fellowship with God. What do you do about this? What do you do about gossip? If you've been a gossiper, you need to confess it. You're not the only one that knows that one. It's not a private sin. Gossip is definitely not a private sin. Has anybody ever seen that old drawing, painting of Norman Rockwell? And the old title is Gossip. Or the other subtitle is Telephone. And it shows one lady. Now, mind you, no cell phones back in the 1940s. But here's the picture of all of these people. One person, oh, Gladys, let me tell you, and the person or the other. Then you see the next, that same person that they just got the information, has turned right around, calling somebody else. And then you hear the, and it's a whole series of people. And you can see their facial expressions. There's no words needed. You and I both know what's being spread is gossip. Now that's not private. It's public. My mother once told me, she was told this, and I think that's pretty true. Now most of us have those pillows that have the poly whatever fill pillows, nice and warm. Well, they used to have these down pillows. Down meaning, for those who don't know, down is the feathers from a bird, like goose or down goose feathers, whatever. My mother was told one time, gossip is like this. You take a down pillow, you open it up. You take a drive down Main Street, And you take that, those feathers, you start going whoosh, whoosh, throwing those feathers out. You get to the end of Main Street. Now you have an empty pillowcase. And now you're tasked to turn your car around and collect every feather. Can you collect every feather? No. That's what gossip is. Gossip is where you spread information that you will never be able to get back. Make sure you say what is right and what is loving. Keep your nose out of other people's business. And always ask Christ for forgiveness and change your way. If you can't say something good or encouraging, keep the mouth shut. Never criticize somebody about their own, except to their face and in private. If you say it in front of other people, you've now thrown the feathers out. If your friends start bad-mouthing others, guess what? That same friend's going to bad-mouth you too. You got to get rid of that leaven. Got to get rid of those friends. Those friends will corrupt you. Those friends, so-called friends, if they're not trying to get to heaven, they don't want you to go to heaven either. And they are going to try to make you do things you ought not do. I don't care what it is. They want you to do the same thing they're doing. Get rid of the leaven. This is why Jesus and the whole salvation with the unleavened bread. Evil company corrupts good habits. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Get rid of the leaven. Galatians chapter 5, 6 through 8. The leaven is the malice, the wickedness. And how is that compared to sincerity and truth? You need to go to that person if you have a problem. Go to him. Consider what James said, and we're almost through. Chapter 3, 1 through 12. It's a bit of a reading, but if you'll please be patient with me. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone sees and does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member of the and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among its our members, such that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. You cannot be a gossip and be approved of God. If your mouth is filthy with gossip, it's also not clean for God. Your mouth needs to be as clean as possible for God. In conclusion, being snarky, sarcastic, falls under the same category as murder.
What?
Absolutely. It's wrong. Even David, Psalm 39, 1 through 6. Knowing our salvation depends on it, and our days are just as a vapor. It says in David, the psalmist says, to the chief musician, to Jeruth, a psalm of David, I said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned when I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor, Selah. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. You know, we think to ourselves, we have a long life, and we want to have the best of our life here on this earth. Have you considered how long eternity is? How long is eternity? I've thought about this many, many times. I can't contemplate it. My perception of time is based on my experience. Can I fathom 1,000 years? Can you imagine living 1,000 years? How about 10,000 years? Go back to Noah. Oh no, Adam, sorry. Now how about 1,000,000? Is eternity worth gossip? If you can say, I can imagine 1,000,000 years, I'll be surprised myself. But eternity? There is no time. There is no end. How much value is your soul? Is it worth that little tidbit of gossip? Is it worth that little tidbit of, oh, look at me. I have the information. Let me tell you something new. We must watch and be careful of our tongue. There is scripture after scripture, and I don't know if Richard took the time to write them all down. He may have. But I'll tell you, brother, I'm going to save you some time. Did you want me to read a lot of this, just a few? That has to do with the tongue and gossip and all the others? How important is it to God for us to keep our mouth shut when it comes to things that are not our business? Brethren, this lesson is almost all of my lessons usually hurt me at first. And so, have I been guilty? Yes. Have I tried to go back and collect those feathers? Yes. Has it been effective? No. But did it teach me some lessons? Yes. Do I try now hard not to open that bag of feathers? Yes. Keep that bag closed. If you have information about a brother or anybody, and it's not your business, and you have no real reason for sharing for somebody else for their betterment, that's the key. What's your motivation? Is it love? Is it trying to get to heaven? You need to ask yourself some questions before you say or do or think. Brother, I thank you very much for your time. We need to be careful how we speak and what we and who we listen to. That's a lesson. If there's anybody who has a concern about anything that you need the prayers, and I'm so, so thankful we have a new sister. The Lord's Supper, I know that's not part of the lesson, but the Lord's Supper is a memorial for Christ's death and burial, resurrection, and his life. The unleavened bread represents Christ's body that was sacrificed. The fruit, unleavened fruit of the vine, that's Christ's blood that was shed for our sins. And we're partaking of that every Sunday, as the Lord has us to do. And we're to do it in an orderly fashion, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And when we look in the Gospels, how it's been given as the thing we're to do as a memorial for Christ. It is not something we do flippantly. It is not something it's just a side note. Brethren, the Lord's Supper is serious business. God knows our heart. God knows, did you take 2 seconds? Did Christ give us 2 seconds of his life? Or can we afford a few more than just a few seconds? So, we have a new sister. And that she's going to be able to have the Lord's Supper the first time. And I so appreciate that. As she's partaking tonight, as we always will, we need to keep in reverence just as she will be. The sacrifice that Christ gave for us in that memorial of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. If there's anybody who has any need for the prayers or anything that you need help with, please do come forward as we stand and sing.